We'll open the scriptures now to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 12. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and to faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we have tasted the goodness of your word. Give us more and more of an appetite for it. Feed us now and nourish us that we may grow in Christ into what you intend us to be through him. Thank you for your word of promise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of the time, we preachers like to begin our sermons in ways that build connections between us and you, the listeners. That's pretty common. We'll often introduce an idea or maybe tell a story or raise a question that will help close that gap that's there between the speaker and the listener, something that will help forge a connection between me and between you as we've come together to worship God. But in today's text from Hebrews, the preacher takes sort of a different kind of approach. He begins his sermon by creating some space, some tension-filled space between himself and the hearers. We have much to say about this, announces the preacher, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Now, you can start to sense some resistance building in the pews there among the listeners. In their minds, some begin to protest. Slow learners, who does he think he is? Who is he criticizing our aptitude? We've been studying under him for months now. We've got a good handle, we believe, on a lot of the basic Bible teachings. We followed our Bible reading assignments, and though we may have flunked a few pop quizzes on doctrine, they say, but that doesn't mean that we're stupid. We didn't come here to church to be called out publicly just because pastor feels like we didn't make his honor roll. That's the atmosphere that comes across in this text here today. The good news is that the congregation in this case takes the preacher's words and tries to turn them toward some kind of positive purpose. Instead of storming the front of the sanctuary, which they may have felt like they wanted to do, to remove the preacher from the pulpit, they choose another path. They tell the preacher that they're brighter than he thinks. One of the church leaders rises from her pew and shouts, "All right then, go ahead, bring on the theological meat. We can handle it. Serve it up." Then others start to chime in. "Yeah, we're ready to move on to the next level of religious learning too. Give us a shot, and you'll see that we can handle a more advanced religious curriculum. Give it to us." That's when the congregation realizes in this text, I think, that the preacher's partly been using some reverse psychology on them. He didn't really mean that they all need to sign up for remedial theological education. He was largely being provocative, and provocative in order to get their attention, to call them to attentiveness to God's word, to stimulate their comprehension, to whet their appetite for a larger, more substantive serving of the gospel truth. And so now, once the preacher is convinced that this rhetorical strategy has worked, he says, "All right then, let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on. Let's go on to maturity." Spiritual maturity. That's the destination where this preacher wants to take that congregation. It's actually, most importantly, the destination where God wants to take them, where God wants to take us as his people in Christ. The Lord doesn't intend for the folks here in this text to stand still in the Christian life. He doesn't want them to remain spiritual infants. A few years ago, there was a former member of our daycare staff here who had a baby girl. And from time to time, she would bring the baby to visit here and see us again. At first, that baby girl was in her mother's arms. And over time, of course, she grew. And during follow-up visits, she'd be walking, getting around the classroom some. And all the other children who used to have this person as her teacher would marvel at it, but then on one occasion asked, "Where's your baby?" And she said, "That is my baby. She's grown and changed a lot. It's the last time you saw her. She wasn't so much of a baby anymore." The preacher here in Hebrews acknowledges that there's a time for spiritual infancy. There's a time to take baby steps, to be nourished by infant food, to master the basics of the Christian faith. Core teachings noted in our text like repentance and faith, the significance of baptism, the resurrection, final judgment, and so on. But eventually, you have to move on from infant formula to more solid food. And that's because God isn't satisfied with just spiritual birth. He intends and desires spiritual growth as well. It's not just about spiritual birth. It's also about spiritual growth, not simply coming to faith in Christ, which is, of course, critical, but growing in Christ, too. And to that end, God has given us the church. And he aims for the church not just to be a maternity ward, that's part of it, but also to be a place and community of learning, a spiritual home where we get developed, where we learn, where promoting spiritual maturity is important among believers. Now, that doesn't mean that the church is certainly an ideal home or a perfect school or absolutely flawless place of learning. The preacher in today's text and the congregation being served here in that text, They know all too well the travails of life in the church, the life of faith, the struggles of being the church. And the hints we get from our text here, there are some in the fellowship who are satisfied with just skimming the surface of the Christian faith. They don't want to go deeper into their knowledge of God's word. There are some who linger on the margins of the congregation, refusing to make the kind of commitment that will take them to the next level of spiritual growth and development. There are hints of that as well. There are even some who have previously experienced the mercy and love of God in Christ, but for various reasons have turned their back on the faith and left the community of believers. There are indications of that in our text today as well. So there's no need to pretend that this path towards spiritual growth is simple or pain-free or easy, just a simple process of advancing from one grade level to the next. On the contrary, actually, growth in righteousness. When you're growing in righteousness and in holiness in the setting of the church, it can often be messy, complicated, challenging, frustrating, but it's still a journey toward what God plans and intends for his people to be, just as he intended for these folks to be in our text here today, to be mature in Christ. The good news in all of that is that God's promises are reliable, that his word is effective, that it doesn't fail in accomplishing his purposes. God is continually at work in the business of enabling us to grow, to flourish in Christ. Patiently, persistently, God labors to shape us, to make us more into the kind of people who more fully reflect the way of Christ in our own lives. There's one person who tells about a friend she had, and this friend was having some of her property landscaped and refreshed in some ways. She had a specialist out there to sort of envision it, make plans for it, so she wanted to get a big picture of what it was going to look like. She waved her hand over the acreage and told the landscape gardener, "Now, I want a picture of how all this is going to look when it's all finished, including the rose garden, the little pond that I want as part of it, too." She said, "I wanted as much as possible to match this picture that's here in Better Homes and Gardens. That's my vision." And the gardener replied, "Well, it's sort of hard to say, you know. We're dealing here with living things, things that grow, that develop. I can show you a pattern," he said, "but these things grow, which means that you're going to have to continually be cultivating, developing, nurturing, trimming." In one sense, he noted, who's to say one day what it's all going to look like? Remember, these are living, growing things. I think that's the way it is with the church sometimes. A congregation is a living thing, comprised of living individuals in Christ. We can't just hold up a picture of Christ-likeness and say, okay, this in the end is what we want each person to look like or the whole church to look like, and think that, well, if that's the picture, in a few days it's going to be done and finished. We learn through experience that's not the case. Now, tending a fellowship of believers and cultivating it, enabling it to flourish individually and all of us together, is an ongoing kind of work, a nonstop task. It takes patience. It takes perseverance from you, from me, from one another. So day in and day out, part of what happens is that we're called to enter into the work of God and labor on and work on, knowing that there's always some more spiritual growth. There's always some more Christ-like development that can happen in your life, in my life, in our life together as a congregation. Today, I would say to you what the preacher in our text says to the Hebrews here. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So whatever your current stage of spiritual development and spiritual growth, it's important to remember that one of the keys to getting you to the point of progress where you're at right now are your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, the fellowship of believers who help encourage you along the way and grow in the way of Christ. That's critical. I'm still growing in Christ-likeness. You're still growing in Christ-likeness. Not only us individually, but all of us together as a congregation growing in Christ-likeness. We need to continue to encourage one another toward greater growth and increasing maturity in Christ. I myself have experienced and seen the ways that God is at work, cultivating you, cultivating me, cultivating us together. Can testify from my own experience as your pastor to how God's promises are sure. They won't fail. His word is effective. It will accomplish its purpose to get us to where he wants us to be in Christ. But we have to walk by faith and cooperation with his word to persevere and endure, to make progress in the way of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that progressing in holiness is going to be easy, or like I said earlier, that it's going to be pain-free. Spiritual maturity, growing further into the fullness and holiness of Christ, it takes time. And lots of times it passes through hardships, passes through trials, passes through struggles. Pastor John Ortberg tells about a time when he was part of a group of folks who were surveyed. There were actually thousands of them, and they were asked to share about what kinds of things in their lives had helped them grow spiritually the most. What kinds of things? And as it turns out, the number one contributor to spiritual growth, well, it wasn't preaching or teaching. It wasn't being part of a small group or reading lots of books. Wasn't dynamic worship services, wasn't serving in meaningful ways. All of those things that I've just rattled off, they were important and critical. They're part of it. But as it turns out, when it comes to spiritual growth, the number one contributor was suffering. People said that they grew more during seasons of loss, pain, and crisis than any other time. Now, left to ourselves, we'd probably prefer some other way to get to that goal. But the good news is that God hasn't left us to ourselves. God has spoken to us, has come to us through Jesus Christ the Son, who has joined himself to the full range, we're told, of our experience, including our humiliations and our sufferings and our limitations and our struggles. In the Son, Jesus Christ, God has shown us what his objective is for us. And the Son's path to that objective, well, it's summed up right before the beginning of today's text, where in Hebrews we hear, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. All who obey him. In other words, all those whose lives are joined to his life by faith. Faith that doesn't yield, that doesn't give up. Faith that perseveres to the end, till God's purpose is accomplished in Christ. Ruth Bell Graham was the wife of evangelist Billy Graham. She once told about how she saw a message on a highway sign along a strip of the road. She said, I'd like to have that put on my gravestone. It said, end of construction. Thanks for your patience. So moving toward maturity in Christ always takes patience, God's patience, your patience, my patience, the patience of brothers and sisters in Christ in the community of believers. No wonder the preacher here in Hebrews says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what's promised. To imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. Staying on this way of holiness and maturity in Christ takes perseverance. We've seen that here in our text today, to move deeper into the faithfulness of God. I think it means growing up in your sense of God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion and care. C.S. Lewis once wrote a series of children's stories called The Chronicles of Narnia. And in the second book, called Prince Caspian, one of the primary characters is named Lucy. She enters this magical land of Narnia, where she sees this great lion called Aslan, and he represents Christ. Because Lucy hasn't seen Aslan in quite a while, they enjoy a great reunion with one another, and they begin conversation with each other. Lucy looks at him and says, "Aslan, you're bigger now. You're bigger." And Aslan says to Lucy, "Lucy, that's because you're older." And then he goes on to tell her, "You see, Lucy, every year that you grow, you'll find me bigger. You'll find me bigger." Now, I think, in one respect, shouldn't that be the way it is for us, in the way of Jesus Christ, in the way that we see Christ? One of the signs that you're growing spiritually is that God's mercy and love, his patience and his commitment become bigger to you in a way. Get a greater sense of that. One of the signs that you're growing up spiritually is that the grace and goodness of Jesus are becoming bigger to you, larger to you. Now, it's true, there are other kinds of indicators of spiritual progress and development and growth and maturity. Maybe you've gained a more solid grasp of the basic teachings of the Christian faith. Maybe you've developed more spiritual disciplines and holy habits in your life that help strengthen your bond with Christ and his people. Maybe you've sharpened your skills of discernment over time so that you're able to distinguish better between what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong, what's in keeping with Christ and what's contrary to Christ. Maybe you've grown in these ways. Maybe you've developed spiritually by stronger relationships with fellow believers. Maybe you've grown spiritually by going deeper into different forms of ministry and service in the church. These are all indicators of spiritual progress and more maturity in Christ. But undergirding and informing all these things needs to be this growing, deepening sense of the goodness and the mercy and love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. As you grow older in Christ, God becomes bigger. And the depth and wonder of his care and compassion and his salvation toward us in Jesus Christ grows deeper to you. Over time, through all sorts of experiences, you find our promise-making and promise-keeping God bigger and bigger. Bigger in his faithfulness, bigger in his love, bigger in his mercy, bigger in his compassion, bigger in his devotion to completing the saving work that he has begun in our lives through Jesus Christ. And so with that kind of assurance, let's continue to put one step in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and continue to take steps forward, one foot in front of the other, going on toward fuller and fuller maturity in Christ. That's God's purpose for us and his work. Let's pray. Patient and merciful God, thank you for the beginning of a life of faith, spiritual birth. Thank you, though, as well for spiritual growth and the progress we can make in Christ to develop spiritually and in holiness. We thank you for this community of believers you've given us as a place in which to learn and grow and develop. We know that that gets hard and challenging and messy sometimes, O Lord, but you persevere, always working on us. We thank you for how you bring us through experiences of suffering and struggle and pain, and how you're with us in the midst of those, working upon us to help us grow spiritually, keep our lives open to the ways that you're working on us and upon us to make us more like Christ. Now we pray that you give us a deepening sense of your bigness, your greatness and mercy, your goodness and your love in Christ, so that we may continue to mature in him. We ask this in his name. Amen.